As we strive to gain a better understanding of God's Word, you know, we should ask ourselves a very important question. That question is, do we truly rely on God's Word? Do you truly rely on God's Word when it comes to your daily routine and thinking about the things that may come up in your life, the problems, those obstacles that you may face? The fact is that God's Word should always be at our fingertips. We should always have His Word there so that we could look to it if we have problems in our life. The problem is there are so many people today who, when they have problems, they look to a friend, don't they? They may look to a family member or a spouse. Well, those are good if they all understand and know the Bible and are able to give verses from that. But shouldn't we first go to the Bible ourselves? Of course, after praying, we should go to the Bible and seek those things that will help us in our walk and help us to understand the truth as we live out this life. In Isaiah, I had this read earlier, but in Isaiah 40 and 8, it tells us, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God, of our God, stands forever. And so we need to take that to heart and understand that God's Word will always stand. You may have friends who are able to tell you some good advice, but if it's not in accordance with God's Word, it may not be good advice. It may not be the wisdom you need in a time of hardship or trials. You know, we may meet challenges in this life, but the Word of God will always stand. In Psalms 119, 160, it tells us, the entirety of your Word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgment endures forever. The thing is, we need to ask sometimes is, do we really want to follow man's wisdom, or do we want to look to God for the true wisdom? And that's what we need to ask ourselves sometimes, and make sure that we're seeking out that truth. Make sure we're trying to find those things that are in His Word. And so, some may say, well, you know, I have a hard time sometimes finding those Scriptures that I need. Sometimes I have a hard time finding that wisdom in which I may need at a certain time in my life. Well, one main thing that we need to always have is we always have to have the proper attitude when we go into looking for that Word and striving to find the truth or the wisdom for our lives. You know, in Psalms 19 and 7, toward the end, it says, the Word is sure and it makes wise the simple. And a lot in the Old Testament, it says those words. That, as I said, the Word makes wise the simple. Think about that for a second. That's good advice, isn't it? The Bible tells us these things. First point I want to look at is we need to be honest and humble toward the Word when we go at it and try to figure out some things in the Word. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be humble. Make sure we're not going into the Word looking for something we may want to find in that Word. You know, some people look in the Bible and they go into it knowing already what they want to find. We need to make sure we're not doing that in our life and when we study the Word. You know, our entrance into heaven, as well as interpreting the Scriptures, those things, they really don't favor the worldly wise, do they? Instead, they actually favor the ones who are weak, those who are humble, those who are lowly. And so we need to think about that in our lives as we live out this life. I want to look in 1 Corinthians, and I want you to think about these things as I read them. In 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31, it says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. You see, God has chosen those who appear foolish to the worldly standard. That's really not normal, is it, when you think about the worldly scheme of things? It's the direct opposite of what the world thinks. Most that are chosen by God are not great philosophers. They're not the upper class, the richer, more wealthy people. If you remember back in Revelation 3, it talked about the Laodiceans. Remember, they had become wealthy. And in doing that, they had become haughty. They had quit looking to the Lord for things. You know, not in all circumstances, I know, but sometimes when we get a lot of money, we start looking to that money for everything, don't we? And that can be totally against what God wants. And so we have to make sure in our life that we're always seeking God, and whenever we may get wealth in our life, that we still depend on God and not depend on that money. Not become arrogant and haughty and think that you're greater than others. For there was many in the Bible who did just that, didn't they? Not to say, of course, that there aren't some cases that, there's rich people who are saved. We know that. And it says here, not many are chosen with these characteristics. So not many, but there are some. We can think about the man who had all the great riches. And Christ asked him to sell everything he had. And he couldn't do that, could he? So, we need to think about this in our life. You know, God chooses humility over pride and arrogance. So we need to keep humble in our heart, low, and never get prideful or thinking we're better than others. This can cause us so many problems, so many strifes, even among the church members. So we have to watch out with that. He also chose the weak things to shame the strong, the powerful. And he chose the base things to shame those who of nobility, those of high social status. The Christian is going to be persecuted by others. We see that in Matthew chapter 5 and some other verses. And so sometimes we're going to be persecuted. We're going to be condemned by the world. But these are the ones who are actually those who are God's elect. Those who are trying to live right. Not to the worldly standard, but to God's standard. And so we need to do this as we live. In Luke 5, 7 through 8, it tells us, remember here talking about Peter? It says, so they signaled to their partners and the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Notice here, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You see, Peter, he was filled with sin, but he had the right heart. He had the right heart to acknowledge the sin in his life. And that's what God wants. That's the person that God chooses. We have to go, of course, through the plan of salvation. But we need to always think on these things. Humility in our life. Being the type of person that is willing to acknowledge our sin and turn from it. Change our way if we're going in the wrong direction. those with good hearts, lowly, humble, those are the ones who Christ and our Lord God want. You know, Jesus always taught the basis for misunderstanding His message as a problem of the heart. You know, it wasn't ever an intellectual problem, was it? So many believe that understanding the Bible is intellectual. But God never teaches that through His inspired written Word. He says that it's a matter of their heart. And so, a lot of times, you know, we hear people that say, well, I can't learn the Bible. I'm just not smart enough to understand some of those things. Is it really they're not smart enough? Or is it because they're not seeking that Word diligently? And I'm going to look at that in here in a few minutes. If we look also there at Luke 24, 25 through 27, it says, Then He said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. You see, Christ, He called these who didn't understand foolish, slow of heart to believe. It was a matter of their heart. In Mark 16:12 through 14, it says, After that, He appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. They went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, He appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. You see, they lacked faith. They had a hard heart, and they didn't believe. How could this guy have risen from the dead? We still have people like that today, right? We still have some who believe that Christ has never came a first time, much less come a second soon. How can they believe those things? It's a hardness of their heart. They resist God. And so we need to stay away from that type of heart. You know, the Word explains itself to us, but we have to diligently seek that Word. We have to find the truth. Those who don't have a love for the truth, basically, you know, they're going to be sent a strong delusion, aren't they? We read that in 2 Thessalonians 9 through 12. There it says, This coming of a lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonder, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish. Because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It's foolish to make a good guess or assumption before actually doing the proper research in the Word of God, right? You know, we can just guess, give it the old college try, so to speak. But is that really what we need to do with the Word of God? We need to seek out that truth, don't we? If we don't understand things, we have to search the Word, the whole Bible, to find those things. They're hidden in places throughout the Bible. But we have to seek it diligently. We must take God at His Word, though, and never doubt what He gives to us, what He says. In Proverbs 18:13, it tells us, He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. So, you know, we shouldn't ever be so hard-hearted that we resist the truth, especially without going in and searching those Scriptures to find that truth. Don't take another person's word for it. Find the truth. It's there. But we have to diligently seek it, don't we? We can find the truth. Remember in Romans 1:16 it says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. We have to search the Scriptures to find salvation. We have to search what the Bible says, that plan it gives us. Some people in different denominations, they don't really understand that plan, do they? A lot of times they go to a lot of different schools, don't they? They have professors or teachers there who talk out of a book. A lot of times not even the Bible. And they learn all these things. Then they'll have another group come through and they'll learn these things. We need to go to the Word of God, the Bible. We need to learn what it says. How it tells us salvation comes. And so, we have to trust in God's Word and look to that Word. In Matthew 13:10-15, it tells us there, "And the disciples came and they said to Him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' He answered and said to them, 'Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has not been given. For whoever has to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them.'" So bottom line, understanding the gospel is a matter of the heart. It's not how great our IQ is. It's a matter of us diligently searching the Word, finding the Scriptures that line up with each other. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. But we have to find it by diligently seeking that Word. That's the only way to find the truth. You know, as I said earlier, we too need to be careful that when we go into the Bible, that we're not reading the Bible in order to find what we want to find. But we need to read the Bible with an open and honest heart and find the Scripture as God gives it to us. So many today, they hear something. A lot of those in denominations, they hear things from preachers or teachers. And then they go to the Bible and they'll show you how to be saved, for instance. And they'll go to the Bible and show you these verses that they've already heard from somewhere else. From someone else. We need to look at those verses that we use in the plan of salvation. We need to use those verses in our life, and we need to look to those verses that we're teaching and understand what we're teaching. And so, by going to the Word daily, by studying that Word, we're going to find the truth. And so we need to do this. Don't ever think you're not smart enough to understand the Word. 2 Timothy 3:7-9 says, "Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was." We must accept that the Word tells us that, you know, those things in which the Word tells us, we must accept those things. When we do that research, we must accept what the Word's telling us. and have faith in that matter. You know, a lot of times people will research the Word, they'll come to understand the truth, and then they'll start hearing things from other people or maybe preaching on TV, and they'll fall away from those things. Once we come to understanding through that study of the Word, we need to hang on to those things. Have faith in them. Have a love for that truth, that faith. Don't second guess God's Word. It can cause problems. God has promised us the ability and the tools necessary to understand His will. But it's up to us to seek those things in our life, to seek those things in His Word. Our second point I want to look at is we must seek the truth. You know, we're to seek, and the Bible says we'll find. This is how we find truth, isn't it? In Matthew, it tells us there, 7 through 8, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." When we read, we can understand, but we must seek the truth, as we've said, diligently, right? Most read on occasion, don't they? Most just read when they get some spare time, maybe through the week. We need to set aside time each day, don't we? To search the Scriptures. To know what our Lord is telling us. It'll help us in our life. But also, more importantly, it'll help us to get to heaven. But we have to search those Scriptures, don't we? We need to be like the Bereans. Remember in Acts 17:11, they were searching the Scriptures daily. They didn't care what Paul was telling them. They wanted to know it firsthand. They wanted to read and understand what was said. Do we do that? You know, I may preach this lesson tonight. You may hear a verse you want to look more into, but you may never get into your Bible to look at that verse. We need to search the Scriptures. Find those things that are true and have faith in them. A while back, I was talking to Brian and I was doing a lesson on wisdom. And he gave me this verse. It's in Proverbs 2:1-6, and it really hits home with this lesson. So I wanted to include it. It says, "My son, if you receive my words and you treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding." Notice here. "If you seek her as silver and you search her, you search for her as a hidden treasures, for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." The Lord will give us understanding, won't He? But as I said earlier, we have to first seek and search diligently for it. I give you an example. If someone came to you tomorrow and said, "You know, I heard there was a hidden treasure in your backyard, and this was a truthful source, and you knew for sure that there was a hidden treasure there in your backyard. Would you go back there and just dig one or two times and say, 'Well, I looked, but I couldn't find it'?" No, you would go back and dig every day, wouldn't you? Whenever you had spare time, you would go and dig in that backyard. On the weekends, you would be digging in that backyard, right? Because that buried treasure was back there. What about the Bible? We've been given the truth. We've been given the ideas in which are going to help us to get into heaven. And isn't heaven that greatest treasure that we're looking to find? That great pearl? Why not search the Scriptures like we would for a hidden treasure? Why not spend all of our spare time looking in God's Word? Why not set aside 30 minutes a day, read the Bible?
we could say the same thing about praying. The Word says pray without ceasing, right? Do we pray without ceasing?
We have to do what the Word tells us and seek those things. You know, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they're going to be filled.
Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you search after righteousness? Is righteousness on your mind continuously? Doing what God says for your life? Is it always on your mind? Are you always looking to the things above?
Sometimes hard, isn't it? But that's how God tells us. He says to seek Me. We remember Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We're supposed to be seeking after that righteousness. Sometimes we start slacking, though, don't we? We don't do that.
After we gain that faith, we need to be diligent to make our call
and our election sure. In 2 Peter 1:10-11, it tells us, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Our goal as a Christian should be to diligently enter that rest.
We should be diligently seeking that end result, that heavenly home. That should be our goal as Christians. We need to, as it says in Hebrews 6:1, seek perfection. Be seeking for perfection. Go above those elementary things.
Get to those things which are meat of the Word.
The only way to do that is to study diligently the Word.
In Hebrews 4:8-11, it tells us, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day.
There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest as himself also ceased from his work as God did from his. Notice 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience.
Being diligent means hard working, doesn't it? It means being careful in our life. So once we are in Christ, we need to work.
We need to labor to continue doing those things that will keep us in Christ. We have to stay steadfast, immovable, and grow in understanding. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it tells us, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Also, 1 Timothy 4:13 tells us, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. The Bible contains passages that are hard to understand, but they're not impossible to understand. We just have to do the work of seeking and searching for the truth.
2 Peter tells us in 3:14-18, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless.
And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to us, has given to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people will twist to their own destruction.
as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. So one who is untaught, unstable, you can cause them to misinterpret the Scriptures. We looked at earlier a verse that talked about we must seek the righteousness. It's those who are in unrighteousness. Those twist the Scriptures. They can stumble and they need to be careful. These passages can be twisted. We have to watch out how we use Scriptures. And learn the full truth. That's what happens with a lot of denominations. They use one Scripture and they never back it up with others. We have to put the whole Bible to use to help us find the truth. This is imperative. Peter commanded that the Christians grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there in 2 Peter 3:18. The Word of God should always be the center. It should always be our focus as we move through this life. We should always be seeking how we can be righteousness and acceptable servants before our Lord. And so the only way we can do that is to know the Word. Remember, if we know the Word, then we'll know how we're going to be judged in the end, right? John 12, 47 through 48 says, "And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judge him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." We have to know the Word, don't we? So that we know how we're going to be judged. So that we're living right. We have to seek it diligently. You know, when you leave this evening, we're almost through here. When you're on your way home, you may say, "You know, that lesson really hit home with me. It was something I really needed." But then you'll forget about it, right? You won't probably think about it again. Don't do that. Use God's Word. Make a plan. I challenge you to start reading every day, if you don't already. I know some do. Make a plan to read. Learn the Word. I'm sure Brian would help you with anything that you may have a question on. I will, or someone else here, I'm sure. But we need to read, don't we? We need to find the truth. The only way we're going to find that truth is to be diligent in looking for that truth. We see it throughout the Bible. Remember that we have to be steadfast. We must be immovable. 1 Corinthians 15:57 through 58 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The question is, will we continue faithful all the way until the end without giving up? Remember, in Mark 14:31, not only Peter, but also the other apostles there agreed that they would never deny Christ. Wow. They denied Him, didn't they? I ask you to think in your mind right now. Think in your mind that you're being persecuted. Maybe you've got a gun pointed at you. They're asking you if you stand for Jesus Christ and your faith in Him. Would you say no? Or would you say yes? You could die. Would you go to death for the faith? It's a hard question, isn't it? Until we get in that situation, it's hard to say But we must say yes. We must be grounded in the faith and not waver. When we get in that situation, we have to be ready to give a confession. Whatever happens, happens. Do you have that faith? The faith that Abraham had when he took Isaac to the altar, he was willing to give his only son to God. The faith that Stephen had when he went to the time in which he was stoned, he was standing on the truth. Will you do that? Will you stand to the last hour with Christ? It's a good question. We have to be ready if that time ever comes to be ready to confess Christ and be ready to die if it means heaven. In conclusion, our heart must be right in order to accurately find the truth. Hopefully you are all diligently studying away from the church services. If you're not, choose a time during the day. You know, when I was preaching over in Selma, sometimes some short time with the children, but I woke up at 5:30 every morning and I would work on lessons from 5:30 to about 7 when they woke up. And at night I'd start working on them about 7:30. Because they would be going to sleep. And I'd work on them until sometimes 12 at night. But I made time. Sometimes, you know, we don't make time because we don't really have anything that's pushing us to have something done in the Bible, right? But we need to be accountable to ourselves. Because God is watching. And so we need to focus on the Word and do our best and seeking the truth. The Word has been given to us, but it's up to us to diligently seek that truth in our life. The question is, are you diligently seeking that truth? That's the lesson. There may be some here this evening. Maybe you have been stumbling in your faith. You know who you are. Maybe you've been slacking in your service. Get back right with the Lord. You can pray to the Lord God right where you're sitting. Make things right in your life. Maybe you've actually fallen away from the church and did some things that were not right in the sight of God. You need to change those things. You need to get right with God. And you need to make publicly known confession of some things in your life. We ask that you would come forward at this time. Maybe you have never given your life over to Christ. You've never started seeking after our Lord. We also offer that opportunity to you. Whatever it is in your life that you need to change here tonight, remember, this life is but a vapor. We're not given tomorrow. Make it right tonight before it's everlasting. Whatever the situation, won't you come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song?